We have been going through these ideas of who we are and what we believe are important to us. And one of the phrases, our mission of why are we here? Why do we exist? Like, what is the purpose of the church here? And for us, it's this idea that we want to be a people and we want to be a place that encounters Jesus and transformed by his presence. We don't want to be a place where people just come and they attend and they somewhat enjoy it and then they walk out the complete same as when they came in here. Or we don't want people to walk in here and go, man, there was a lot of activity there. There was a lot going on. But I just didn't feel his presence. That's not who we want to be. We want to be a people who center everything around encountering him. Why? So that we can be transformed by his presence. Not so that I can be a better version of myself, but so that I can be, as the word says, a new creation, where the old is gone and the new has come. I want to be transformed back into his likeness, back into the image of that where he created me to be before sin entered into the world, before I agreed with sin and the lie of the enemy that has made me be somebody else. I want to come back so that you see who he sees in me. Because even in all of that stuff, he still sees me as he first saw me. But what it means to be transformed is that you begin to see me as he sees me. That I begin to see you as he sees you. That's what it means to be transformed. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 4 today. But you don't have to rush there. If you've been with me for a while, you know I tend to start with a story, but you can go ahead and flip. I try to give some people a little extra time to get there. I love the idea of long distance running. I don't love the practice of it. And I don't do it, but I love the idea to see what they can do. And there's this story of this guy, and he's a Kenyan, probably the greatest marathon runner of all time. His name is Eliud. It's like Eliud Kipchoge. And you might not know the name, but he's recognized as one of the greatest marathon runners of all time. He's like an Olympic gold medalist. In 2019, he did what everybody thought was impossible. He ran the marathon in under 2 hours. 26, like some of y'all are like, yeah. 26.2 miles in under 120 minutes. That's stupid. To be able to do that, I mean, I'm going to make it over there for those burnt ends pretty quick. But that ain't 26.2 miles. That same pace and determination that I'm going to have here in a few hours when we get over there after this sermon. But imagine that for 26.2 miles. He did what everybody thought was impossible. He pushed the limit of what we thought was physically possible. And people began to ask him the question once he did it. Of course, they wanted to know, well, what did you do? Like, what did your training look like? How often did you run? Like, what was your practice? What was your diet like? And to their surprise, he said, really, what it was is it wasn't necessarily my training, but it was my teacher. His name was Patrick Sang, and he took Eliud under his wing, and he showed him not just what it meant to be a runner, but what it meant to be a person. He brought him into with his family. He didn't just say, hey, I want you to go run this and catch up with me later on. But he said, hey, I want you to come with me. I want you to walk with me, and I'm going to show you. And this Eliud shared how he learned from him. How did he handle stress? How did he handle disappointment? How did he handle all the things and the stress of life? Now, obviously, there was running and routines and regimens and diets and all of that, but he said all of that didn't matter. All of that didn't shape me to become who I became, to do what I did. It's that I saw this man, and I did everything that he told me, and I copied everything that I saw in his life. And when we look at today, like as I said, we're in this idea of encountering Jesus, being transformed by his presence. But then it goes one step further where we have this word with. And in that, each of the letters spells out this thing, and it says that we want to be people that are walking with Jesus. That we want to be a people that are imitating Jesus. We want to be together as family. And then we want to be here for our community. So those are things that are important to us. And so today we're in this idea of what does it mean to imitate Jesus? And what we see from the life of Eliud was that it's so much more than just doing these things in the right order, but it's so much of seeing this person and following after him. And that's the idea that we're going to look at, this idea of imitating Jesus, this idea of becoming like him. That's what Jesus was talking about when he called his first disciples. Because whether you realize it or not, you're being formed and discipled all day, every day. Some of it's consciously, some of it's subconsciously. Like Milo, he's one of my twins, number 7 of 8, and he's 6-year-old. I'm subconsciously forming him into the second greatest Longhorn fan there ever was. We watch everything to do with them. And we were watching a game a little bit later than when the Longhorns were still in the football thing. And so he walked by the TV, and it was OU or 0U, as we call them. And OU was playing, and he's like, "Dad, who are we going for?" And he goes, "Oh, that's right. We're going for the other team. We never go for that one with the O and the U." I go, "You're right, bud." See, subconsciously, I'm training him, and consciously, you know, we're pretty active in it. But the same is true for us. Like, we are being formed all day, every day. What you scroll on social media, right? Don't act like y'all all don't got Facebook. I know y'all do. Come on. Whatever you scroll, it's shaping you. Whatever you're watching on TV is shaping you. Whoever you're hanging around is shaping you. Because you're seeing what they do. You begin to imitate them. You begin to mimic them. And we become shaped by them. And so all we're trying to do is say, look at Jesus. We want to be transformed by him, and we want to imitate him. I was talking with this friend of mine. He's a pastor at Vernon Cowboy Church, and he was sharing you know, we all say dumb things every once in a while. Like I say, hey, don't get me wrong, I'm not an anti-drug guy. Whatever. What is that about? I'm an anti-prescription drug guy, right? So we all say dumb things. The more you talk, the more you're going to mess up. And he was talking this past Sunday, and he was sharing from the Gospel of John, where after the resurrection, where Jesus goes and sees them on the shore and tells them to cast their nets. And he was recapping his sermon with me and just kind of telling me, and he goes, "Man, and then I messed up." And I, you know, at first I wasn't kind of paying attention, but then I'm like, "Oh, you messed up. Let's hear it. I like these things. These are fun." He said he was preaching, telling the story, and then he goes to quote Jesus, where Jesus goes, "Hey, why don't you try your nets on the other side?" And he said, out of nowhere, it came out in a Scottish accent. And he said, everybody just stopped and was like, and he was like, "I got to own this." He's like, I don't know where that came from. Jesus was not Scottish. I'm sorry. But he shared that one of his favorite pastors to listen to is Alistair Begg. Yeah, and so he's Scottish, and so he's like, I listen to him all the time. And so when it just came out, it just came out as if I were him. And it's like, oh, man, so embarrassing. But isn't that true of us, though? What if we spent so much time with Jesus that when it came out of us, you'd be like, man, that was not me. I don't know where that came from. And they're like, oh, that was Jesus. You're right. That wasn't you. Because you don't respond in that way. That was Jesus. But what if this idea of discipleship was that we are to be spending so much time with him that we begin to imitate him? When Jesus, and we're going to read in Matthew chapter 4, 18, he walks up and calls his disciples. He didn't come up to them and say, hey, are you ready? I want you to write down all of these things that I have to say. Now look at what he says in verse 18 of chapter 4. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come to. They immediately followed him, leaving their boat and their father behind. He didn't say, hey, I want you to come get your pen and paper, get your stone and tablet, get whatever you need to write down, because I'm going to give you these teachings and then I want you to go and do it. He said, no. I want you to come, follow me. Like we don't have this idea in our culture right now, but when a rabbi would go up to someone and say, come follow me, the rabbi wasn't saying, hey, I want you to learn these teachings. He was saying, you're going to come and you're going to walk with me, and I'm going to teach you the scriptures. I'm going to teach you all these things. I'm going to show you what it looks like. And so Jesus wasn't just saying, hey, come follow me. We're going to go on this journey. Hey, I'm just going to teach you these things, and then I want you to go and do all of these things. He said, no, I want you to come with me. Follow after me. And I think for a lot of us, if we slow down and we really ask the question, and we say, what does it mean to imitate Jesus? We don't really have a clear picture of that, do we? This idea of discipleship or apprenticeship, as we'll call it here in a minute. Because what the problem is that we've reduced Christianity to a set of beliefs, to songs to sing, to services to attend. But Jesus didn't just come to give us something to believe in. He came to show us this new way of life. If you flip over to Luke chapter 6, verse 40, it'll be up on the screen too, but before I get too far, let me just pray one more time. Father, we come before you right now. Holy Spirit, would you just teach us? We invite you not only into this place, but into our hearts, into our minds. Would your word become alive and active to us? Thank you that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you that it will cut me today. Now, thank you for the fruit of that. So, Holy Spirit, we yield to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 6, verse 40. He says, students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. That line sums it all up. That doesn't mean we're getting hamburgers yet, but that line sums it all up. We'll be like their teacher. Not just know what the teacher knows, not just repeat what the teacher said, but will become like the teacher. Jesus was inviting, when we go back to that Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was inviting these people not only to be his disciples, but that word is apprentice. It means a learner, an apprentice, or someone who orders their life around a teacher. They don't just learn information, but they adopt a way of life. I think when you look at, like, to go to medical school, you know, Larry, like, you didn't just go to medical school and read all the books and then you graduate and they go, okay, now go figure it out. I hope they didn't. I mean, it was a different time back then, but but they go, hey, I want you to read this and then go observe it. And then come back and read some more and then go and observe. And then practice and work and do. I've been doing concrete work for a while. And when I very first started off, and even now, I'm still the only white guy out there that does this, right? And that's cool. I'm good with that. But early on, I was a 20-year-old kid and I show up and the reason I got into concrete is because I married a girl, Lauren, my wife, whose father did concrete work. It's not like I woke up and I was like, man, I cannot wait to get out there. I'm going to be a concrete guy when I grow up, you know? Like, no way. Nobody does that. And I can remember, like, you're eager to get out there and learn. And they're pouring concrete and, you know, there's the fun tools. There's this big bull float that just, like, smooths it out, makes it look real pretty. There's the hand float, the edger, and you're like, man, I want to do that. And you try to pick up one of those tools, and they say, no, hey, I want you to bring this, you can go pick up the come along. I'm like, what is that? What do you mean? What's the come along? I didn't know. They're like, just get it. The come along is the thing that pulls the concrete. It comes along, right? As fast as you pull it. And I pulled concrete for years. Every time we would pour, I say, hey, can I edge? I mean, that's the simplest thing. Can I be the guy that does the edge? And they're like, no. Okay, all right. Eventually, they let me edge. It's way harder than it looks. And it's the simplest thing. There had to be hours of watching and observing them. You can't just read about Jesus and go, I got it. You have to apprentice with him. You have to disciple with him. You have to be with him so that you can learn the way that he is. Because if you read this, like if this was your first time and you read and you're like, oh, love the Lord God with all your heart, strength, soul, and mind, you're like, got it. And then I'm going to go out here on I-20 right past Willow Park where it goes from 3 lanes to 2 lanes. Man, you are going to fail. I'm just telling you right now, you're going to fail the first test. If you read and you're like, but it says to love them. Either one, you're going to fail really quickly or you're just going to be like, hey, go ahead. Y'all get in. Those that waited for the last second, even though you drive this every day, go ahead. And everybody behind you is going to be pissed off. You know, they're like, oh, just go. I'm just loving them. I'm just loving everybody. Y'all go, man, you're going to be the most hated person on I-20. If you just read about this and you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to do this. Where Jesus says, hey, all the things that you've read about me, I want you to, you're going to do even greater things. Right? And in that same passage, it's like, hey, if you tell that mountain to move, it's going to move. And you're like, cool. I mean, there's no mountains here, even though we call them mountains, right? You're like, all right, let me just go try this. He said it. I can make that mountain move, and I read it. And you just stand there, and you go, get over there, man. Just move, you know? And at first, you're thinking, I'm going to make it move, like, just way over, across the road. And then, like, towards the end of the prayer, you're like, hey, could you just, like, can I just see a little shake that maybe I can make you think that I moved you? If you just read about it, it's going to make no sense. But to spend time with him, that's when you begin to learn his way of life. You learn the ideas. You learn the heart behind the words that are on the page. When he says, come and follow me and I will show you how to fish for people, he's saying, hey, if you just come with me, if you stay with me long enough, I'll show you everything that you need to know. And you'll start to look like me. And that's a challenge for us. Because we've created this idea, that this concept of Christianity, or of being a Christian, where I can say that I love Jesus, but yet my life doesn't have to look anything like him. Right? Have y'all met them? Y'all met people like that? We call those part-time Christians. Sometimes you catch them on their day off. You're like, okay, sorry. Didn't know it was your day off today. But we've given ourselves this ability to go, yeah, I love Jesus. And as soon as my life doesn't look like that, and someone else who says, hey, I love Jesus, goes, hey, your life doesn't look at that. They go, don't judge me. Who are you to say that about me? Because we've settled for this idea that I can just say it, but that my life doesn't actually have to look like him at all. But even when you break down the basic word, like I love using the word follower of Jesus instead of Christian. Either one, they work. Christian, Christian, means to be like him, a little one, to mimic him, to imitate him. And we've taken that Christian to mean, no, it doesn't mean someone that's like him, that looks like him, talks like him, acts like him. It's someone who shows up to church on Sunday and then looks nothing like him Monday through Saturday. And so what we want to be is a people that imitate Jesus. We're not going to be perfect in this, but our goal never changes. Just because I'm never going to attain that this side of heaven doesn't mean that I'm not going to keep striving for that. Doesn't mean that I lower it and go, oh, well, yeah, I'll just get as high as Kelly is and then that'll be good enough for me, you know? The Apostle Paul says the same type of thing in Romans 8:29. He says, for those that God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Conformed means to be shaped into the form of, or to take on the same likeness. Paul is saying that we are to be conformed to the image of him, that we are to take on the same likeness as him. God's goal for you is not to get to heaven when you die. Man, that is not like, he's just like, man, if I can just get Jeff into heaven. No, the goal is that I would begin to look like him before I get there. Another way that people have said it, and it's a pretty popular one, is that the goal is not to get you into heaven, but to get heaven into you. The goal is not to get to heaven. The goal is to be conformed into the image of Christ, to look more like him. What good does it do me that I get to spend eternity in heaven if all around me the world is lost and broken and I'm just singing that old song? Well, I'll go what? I'll fly away and I'll be with him by and by. And it's like, yeah, the whole world is needing me to be who I'm supposed to be right now. The goal of discipleship is not information, but it's transformation. But it's not about trying harder. This is where we often get stuck, because we hear this idea to imitate Jesus. And our instinct is, well, I just need to try harder. I got to try harder to be patient. I got to try harder to love other people. I need to try harder to be disciplined. But truthfully, that doesn't work very long, does it, trying harder? It's tiring, isn't it? You just like white knuckle fist. You're just like, man, I'm gonna love Jesus. I'm gonna try harder. I'm gonna wake up early every morning and I'm gonna study with him. And then I'm gonna be really nice on night 20. I'm gonna do all the things. I'm gonna try, and I'm just gonna do it the best I can. And man, you will do that for a time until you're tired of trying. Because all that you've done is you actually haven't been transformed. You actually haven't been conformed into his likeness. You're trying to be like him without being changed by him. Transformation doesn't come from trying harder. It comes from staying close with him. The key to transformation is not your effort on how well can you do these things, but your effort is how well can you walk with him. Can you walk at the pace that he's at? Mark 3:14. I'm not going to say most overlooked passage, but it's a really overlooked passage. Mark 3:14. This is Jesus choosing the 12. And he says, then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him and he would send them out to preach. The NIV version says it this way. He appointed 12 that they might be with him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him. So he doesn't say, hey, I need 12 so that you can go out and preach and heal and say all those things. No, he says, hey, I appointed the 12 so that they might be with me. Before they did anything, they were with him. The more that you're around someone, the more consistently you're with them, the more you'll become like them. And that's true like with Jesus, or that's true with others. I mean, the more you hang out with somebody, the more you begin to like the things they like. You begin to change how you dress just slightly so that over time, so then you begin to look like them. Like, you just imitate those that you're around constantly. The way you talk and your mannerisms, they begin to look like someone else. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 3:18. He says, and we all, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image. It's this idea that you become what you behold. He says, we are beholding him and we are becoming into his image. That word behold means to gaze at, to reflect like a mirror. What you consistently look at, you start to reflect. You know, social media has an algorithm, right? We're all pretty much aware of that. The more you look at something, the more that it shows up in your feed, the more that it begins to influence you. Since we got this sweet puppy, Howie, man, my algorithm is full of dog videos right now. There's one, hey, I'm just going to tell you, it's going to save your life today. Go look up Walter the Drama King. It's this big husky. And every time Walter has to get a shot or he doesn't get a toy at the store, he's just like, roar, and he falls over. Phenomenal. Great. Cheer you up. Sorry, now I've said that out loud and all your algorithms are going to be reset today, right? All your phones are listening to you right now and it's like, dang, these dogs, get off of them. Get off my feed. But the truth is that your soul has an algorithm too. It becomes what you keep looking at. What you consistently feed your soul is what it begins to hunger and crave. You ever been in that position? Maybe you've been like me and you've confessed. You're like, man, I'm just not hungering after him like I used to. And it's from a place of honesty, but what's the honest answer? What have you been feeding your soul? I mean, there's the old phrase that even we teach our kids, right? Don't eat candy before dinner or you'll spoil your appetite. It's not true. I still eat both. Dessert before, dinner, dessert after. But it's that concept that, like, what am I feeding my soul? If it's always junk in me, then these things, you're going to be like, really? I have to deny myself? I have to take up my cross? That doesn't sound nearly as fun as hanging out with Walter the Drama King. I want to feed that to my soul. I want to feed those videos. And it's like, I just don't have time for the Bible. There's Walter at the store. There's that. But how many of us are the same? Oh, I just don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. We all have time. The truth is, we might just not be hungering after it because we've been feeding our soul something else. Jesus says it later on in John 15. He said, abide in me and you will bear much fruit. Fruit is not something that you force. Fruit is something that grows naturally when it's connected to the right source. Right? Apple trees bear apple. Orange trees bear oranges. And the truth is, like, this one could hurt you a little bit, but, like, if you're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, then what source are you connected to right now? I mean, honestly, I'm just not being transformed. I'm just not seeing the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I don't have peace and joy and patience, kindness, goodness. I don't have self-control. It's like, well, what are you connected to? And this idea of imitating Jesus, of becoming like him, being like him, so that you see me as he sees me, that sounds great, right? The problem is, though, that transformation, our imitating Jesus, requires surrender. Like, this is the part of the message that we don't want to hear, that I don't want to preach. But it requires surrender out of us. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus is talking, and you have these people, hey, I'll be your disciple, I'll follow you wherever you go. And at one point, Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. That's not cozy, comfortable American dream language, is it? Deny yourself? What? We have all the pleasures in front of us, and you're telling me to deny myself? Imitation just can't be about inspiration. Like, you can't, like, we can't just hear this and be like, oh yes, man, I'm so inspired right now to go out and look like Jesus and to live like him, and I'm going to go and do it. It can't just be about inspiration. It has to be about surrender. You can't become who you're supposed to be. You can't become like Jesus while staying in charge of your own life. I mean, there are so many things that get in our way. This is where a lot of us struggle right here, because honestly, we want the comfort of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, the promises of Jesus, but we resist the surrender of Jesus, the obedience of Jesus, and the cost of following Jesus. Let me say that again. We want the comfort of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, the promises of Jesus. Sorry, Pastor Mike. I don't want you to get a hand cramp back there writing. I like it. I'll slow it down. But we resist the surrender of Jesus, the obedience of Jesus, and the cost of following him. And Jesus is clear, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my apprentice, if you want to look like me, if you want to imitate me, if you want to become like me, then it's going to cost you. You have to follow him, you have to lay down your life. The more you surrender, the more free you actually become. Back to our marathon runner, Eliud. Here's a quote that he had. Only the disciplined ones are free in life. If you are undisciplined, you are a slave to your moods and your passions. But don't we think that The ones that are free are the ones that get to go out and do all the things that they want to do. And you look at the world and you're like, oh man, look at that. I'm here on a Sunday. Listen to this guy again. I could be out on the lake in my boat. I could be skiing. I could be doing all these things. And we look at there and we're like, oh man, they've got it made. The disciplined ones are the ones that are free in life. The undisciplined are slaves to our moods and our passion. Imitate Jesus. That means that the goal of your life is to become like him. To be on the narrow road, staying close to him. And the cost is surrendering to him. So the invitation of Jesus is not just come believe in me, it's come follow me. Come walk with me. Come become like me. So we hear that and we're like, yeah, that's what I want. I want my life to reflect him. I want my reactions and my thoughts and my heart to look like his. But there's a problem, though, because there's a gap between our head and our heart. And we hear those things and we're like, yes, I want that. And our heart is going, yeah, but what about tomorrow? What is that going to mean for next week? What is that going to mean for there? And the truth is, why do we fail to imitate him? Why do we fail to become like him? One, I say it's because we settle for less. We've started measuring spiritual maturity by what we know instead of the fruit of our lives. Man, I'm blessed to be able to be a pastor in a non-denominational church that does not require a seminary degree to prove that I know all the things that they say that I'm supposed to know. But that we have elders that can look at the fruit of someone's life and go, he ain't smart, but man, he loves Jesus. That was a too long of a pause, Jeff. Too long of a pause. Just gathering my thoughts. We've settled for less. We've determined that the mature are the ones who know all the theology and all the arguments and all the original Greek and Hebrew and can break it down and can do all those things. And man, those guys are so mature. But yet I see on the news day after day pastors that graduated seminary. Not saying I just see all those people that we would say are spiritually mature that have it all together, they fall day after day after day. And it's heartbreaking. But what we've done is we've said the spiritually mature, those who are able to lead us, those who are able to imitate him and to be with him and all of that are these people who have a degree on their wall. They you can ask them any question and they've got it. Because we've settled for less. We've thought that this paper on the wall or these letters after our names actually mean something. But what is it about with the fruit of our lives? You can quote verses and win arguments and explain theology and still struggle with anger, pride, and impulse control. The goal is to imitate him, to become like him. And so my question today is not, do you know more verses today? But are you more loving today than you were last year? Are you more patient? Are you more kind? Is there more self-control in your life? That we've settled for less. The other reason is, I think, because we follow him at a distance. We're trying to follow him, but it's from afar. We want Jesus as our Savior, but we hesitate with Jesus as Lord. We want him to forgive our sin, to give us peace, and to help us in these hard moments. But when it comes to our time and our habits, our priorities, we keep him at a distance. The problem is that that distance kills transformation. You cannot imitate someone you only visit occasionally. For many of us, we've reduced Christianity to a Sunday morning experience or a quick prayer before meals or maybe a few moments in the morning. But you cannot become like Jesus if you're not consistently with him. I don't say that to guilt you, but I say that to invite you into something deeper. And the last one is like because we don't believe that change is possible. Why do we stop short on imitating him? Because we don't think it's possible. We hear imitate Jesus and we go, man, that sounds great, but not for me. I'm always going to struggle with this. This is just how I am. I've tried before and I can't change. We've settled for this version of Christianity that says that I can live forgiven but not free. But that's not the gospel. He didn't just come to forgive you. He came to set you free. So where has your life not looked like him? Not in a condemning way, but in a way that puts light on it. What area of your life would go, man, that doesn't look like Jesus right there? The way that I responded, Jesus wouldn't have done that. The truth is that you can't transform what you refuse to bring into the light. And sometimes, you know, you get to the point of the message and it's like, all right, just, I got it, Jeff. I'm all in. I'm ready to go. Just give me my three things. Give me my three things that I want that I need to do this week. And there's not. Because being like him, imitating him, isn't just a three-step program. He didn't say, hey, James, Andrew, y'all come follow me. I'm going to teach you three things and then you go out. No, he said, come and follow me. A list is just going to change your behavior for a week. But what if you stopped seeing your life as something that you manage on your own and you started seeing it as something you live with Jesus? What if discipleship started to mean, our apprenticeship started to mean that you're going to learn to live your life like Jesus did. There are going to be moments this week where you're going to experience the tension of the old and the new, where someone cuts you off and you're going to want to become that old person that you were before. That old self is going to come out, or you're going to be tempted, and it might be in a few minutes with some desserts, and you're going to be like, man, that's the old Jeff. This Jeff don't need all of that. But you're gonna have those moments this week. And moments where you're going to have to respond like, am I becoming like him or am I going to still be who I was yesterday? And in those moments, it's not, okay, let me try harder. Let me pray the certain prayer. Let me do this. It's just going to be simple like, Lord, how would you do this? Lord, how would you handle this situation? Would you yell at them? No, probably not. Would you put it on your plate and then run and hide so no one can see you eat it? Probably not. But what if this week, if you just began to spend time with him? Not with a set plan. I got to read three chapters every day this week. What if you just said, Lord, I just want to be with you. I want to become more aware of your presence. I want to become the person that responds with patience instead of frustration, peace instead of chaos. Because at the end of the day, this is the truth. You become like the one you're with. If the fruit of your life is not love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, patience, self-control, who have you been with this week? So you're not going to add anything this week. You're just going to reorient it. You're not going to say, okay, I need to add some time to the day. No, you're going to go, hey, I don't really need to waste my time on this. I'm going to reorient my life around becoming like him, imitating him, being with him. Let's just pray real quick, all right? Father, we come before you. Thank you for your word that it's good for us. Jesus, you said that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so, Father, let these words be our food for this week. Let us desire, let us feed our soul this. Let us reset that algorithm so that we desire you. Father, would you be with us this week? Holy Spirit, would you just be with us this week? We want to imitate you and become like you. So, Father, as we go, we just pray, would your glory shine in us? And would you make your name great through us? Father, we love you. Amen. Amen.